Well, as mentioned, Anthony Albanese has wrapped up his first overseas trip as Prime Minister, with climate change and China topping the agenda at those Quad security talks in Japan. Phil Currie joins us from the airport in Tokyo. Very good morning to you.
How are you, David?
Very well. Now, look, it really is hard to imagine a better start to the job for a new Prime Minister. He's attended those Quad talks one-on-one with the US President. They all seemed very warm and welcoming and on the same page. You've been in there on the ground. How did Anthony Albanese go? Were there any signs of training wheels, or did he seamlessly stride onto the world stage?
Oh, look, a little bit of both. He did very well. His head is clearly still spinning from the election result on Saturday, and it's all a bit of a mad rush. I mean, I think Penny Wong made the point. It's a bit like when Kevin Rudd won in 2007 and a couple of days later flew to Indonesia to sign the Kyoto Protocol. It's all a bit mad. But look, Albanese turned up, David, and it was important he did, either whoever won the elections did, because it wasn't just sending a message to the US, the Japanese and the Indians, the members of the Quad, but also the Chinese and everyone else in the region, that Australia's resolve to that dialogue and what that dialogue stands for is undiminished just because we've had a change of government. And that was the message he went in person to deliver, but by virtue of actually dropping everything so quickly and going, that in itself was a statement of commitment. And that was remarked upon by both Joe Biden and Prime Minister Kishida of Japan. So the symbolism was as much important as the words he uttered. But look, he was clearly nervous. It was a big stage. Like as we said a few days ago, he was shaking hands with warehouse workers, and now he's being embraced by the US president. But he said all the right things, and he was keen to make the point about climate change. He differentiated himself from his predecessor by stressing the importance of climate change to main issue of security to the island nations, and that was a shout out to what had happened in the Solomons. So he sort of brought his own brand to it, and he did fine. I think he's just keen to get back home now and get his government together.
Yeah. So just on the climate change issue, we saw him really emphasise it while he was there with the other leaders. Will the Albanese government's more ambitious position help Australia's standing with the Pacific, with the US, with Europe, do you think?
Well, that's the view and that's the belief. I mean, certainly you could see Joe Biden was appreciative of it, and there's a natural affinity between the two of them. They come from the same political stripe, so that's understandable, but clearly you could see Biden appreciated that. The odd thing about climate change in the Pacific, David, if the Solomon Islands and anyone else is rushing to the bosom of China because of climate change, it doesn't quite compute, given China's the worst polluter in the world and sort of least inclined to do anything about it. They don't even embrace net zero by 2050. But Australia argues, look, it's all we've got. We can't compete with China on a monetary basis. We can't, with the sort of aid and infrastructure budgets China has, we can't do that. So we have to sort of empathise with the islands on the issue of climate change. And that's the criticism that Labor had of the Morrison government. Wasn't serious enough about climate change. So Albanese was banging that drum at every forum yesterday, be it at the Quad meeting or in the subsequent bilaterals he had with the three members of the Quad and in the press conference he gave to us. And that was clearly the point of differentiation from his predecessor. Other than that, it was sort of, rock solid on China.
The other interesting moment, I thought, in that press conference, which you were at, might have been your question, there was a congratulatory letter from the Chinese Premier to Anthony Albanese, and he was asked about it. He welcomed it, but that's as far as he went. What do you make of this, and how he will ultimately respond to that letter?
Look, it's fascinating, David. In the lead-up to the election and since, China has made overtures, everything from its sort of diplomatic level in Canberra to the letter, to the message from Li Keqiang, the Premier, talking about let's use the change of government as an opportunity to reset the relationship, even invoking Whitlam in China. Look, there's obviously a degree of caution and scepticism from within the new government, and they've been cautioned by the officials, just be careful here. But at the same time, Albanese is saying, look, we're not going to just fall for this. There's got to be a sign. You've got to show us your fair dinkum. And for the first time, the Chinese have actually said, that they're open to making a concession. Up until now, it's always been completely our fault. So I think as a starting point, yesterday we asked the Prime Minister, what would they have to do? And he said, for a start, they can drop those trade bans. But they would have to go further than that. But if we were to resume a dialogue, there would have to be, as China wants, is clearly saying they want to do. We don't know whether they're serious or not. They would have to make a fairly significant gesture, starting with the trade bans and probably withdrawing that list of 14 conditions that was unofficially put to us a year or so ago.
Well, they'd have to answer the phone calls from the new ministers as well for a starting point.
Yes, that would help. Yes, but it is an interesting dynamic at the moment, and one to keep an eye on.
And particularly with Joe Biden also hardening his language in relation to China at the same time. Phil, we got to go. Thanks so much for joining us. Safe flight home.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.